And because Jesus is drawing us as a church family on a journey with him. And the last few weeks of 2017 have been really interesting. We started on the 8th back here with our Tree of Life, pouring out our heart to Jesus, what we wanted our relationship with him this year to be like. We then had the River Together with Lindsay West, who talked about Jesus being the one thing. We then had our Vision Morning, where we talked about the jar and the jug, and how we need to be filled with living water. And you'll remember we dwelt on this verse: I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you have persevered and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Jesus says that to us, River Church. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. And I shared with you how, as a leadership team and as me personally, we've been going through this process following the Reveal survey results of saying, Jesus, have we somehow just strayed a bit far from our first love? And our conclusion being that we had. And as a team, we've been doing all sorts of things that I might share a little bit later to rekindle that first love amongst us. And I hope you can see that there's a new passion in us and a new desire to follow Jesus. And then we had Stephen Clement come with Zacchaeus up his tree, asking us, what tree do you need to climb to see Jesus better this year? And then we had Mark Birch Machin last week, and he brought us that word, didn't he, from Job about us being wooed by God into a spacious place with a table set before us. And that's just the intimacy that Jesus wants to call us all into. And actually, many of you responded to that word and stood. And Mark said to me afterwards, Kerry, I saw things being lifted off people as I prayed. I saw weariness and heaviness and fatigue and all kinds of things being lifted off people as they stood and I prayed. So be encouraged, church, that Jesus is on the move with us as a body and as a family. And he wants to take us on. So my question this week is, he's speaking to us and he's drawing us on. What are we practically going to do to respond to him? And I just want to just draw on one thing from the Reveal survey results that was really highly clear to us, was that it has been easy for our spiritual disciplines, our spiritual habits, our spiritual practices to become really lacking. And actually, in the areas of our engagement with the Bible, daily, our prayer, our giving, it would seem that in many cases that has weakened. And actually, that while we're a church that is out there and doing stuff, we don't want to lose the heart of that passion and that relationship with Jesus. So we're going to be looking at engagement with the Bible. We're going to be looking at prayer. We're going to be looking at giving in the weeks that come. But this morning, I'm going to start us off with a practical challenge. And this is the verse that has been with me for quite a few weeks. And this is Paul speaking, and he says, I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. And I'm just going to stop there and ask you to be honest with yourself. Have you acquired the fullness with Jesus that you'd like? I haven't. I haven't yet acquired the fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I can reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. His word for us today: how are we going to run with passion into his abundance? How are we going to do it, church? I run. Well, I find this quite interesting. I like the whole idea of running. I've got some shoes. Nice, aren't they? Yeah, they don't look very used. Shh, on the front row. I've got some Lycra. Because I know running and Lycra, they go together, don't they? I signed up to a website called Lazy Girl Running. I haven't done any of the plans. I haven't run with these. I admire people who do run, and I think I'd love to be able to do that, but I don't do it. It's interesting, isn't it? Are we going to run to Jesus? And the running thing I also find interesting, because it doesn't say I'm going to have a gentle stroll into Jesus. I'm going to have a wander. It says I'm going to run. There's something intentional about that, isn't there? There's something about wanting to get moving. There's an urgency about it. And running also, there's something about discipline and training within that as well, isn't there? So if we're going to move on in our passion with Jesus, there's something about running that we need to be grabbing. And I think as well, we start small and we build up. So Sarah's a runner and she can run miles. If I got those shoes on and that nice print lycra, I wouldn't be able to keep up with her. I need to start small and I need to begin running and build up. So there's some interesting thoughts in running, isn't there? I run. How about I run with passion? Now, when I think about passion, I think about my husband watching rugby. Okay? So my husband is Welsh and very strongly Welsh. And he's a depressed man this morning. And he watches the rugby. And when Wales are playing, he shouts his head off at the television. I can't tell you how loudly he shouts. I don't like to be in. So he went yesterday with some guys down to Simon Tempest and they were all shouting at the television. My son was there as well and he shouts too, so it must have been dreadful. There's passion, which is about enthusiasm and interest and commitment to the cause, and yeah, I get all excited. But when I think about that, I'm not that sort of person. I'm kind of a bit more of a quiet person. I don't scream at the television quite like that. And I bet we've all been in Christian meetings where people are shouting. And I don't, some of you will be really cool with that, but I'm just going to be really honest. I get a bit, can't quite cope with that. So what's that passion thing? I run with passion. Well, here's a quote I found. Passion is not about energy or volume. It is about being engaged from the heart with the Lord. And I really liked that. It might involve energy and volume, but actually it's fundamentally about being engaged from the heart with the Lord. And when I'm running with passion into his abundance, that's what it's about. It's about being engaged from the heart with him. And so I asked myself, well, what hinders my heart from running with that passion? And I think, you know, it's the enemy, isn't it? He is out to stop us having that passion for Jesus. I think he's the enemy of our hearts. I have this quote here from John Eldridge, who says this. He says, "You are not what you think you are. There is a glory to your life that your enemy fears. And he is hell-bent on destroying that glory before you act on it. The story of your life is the story of a long assault on your heart by the one who knows what you could be and fears it." How about that? So he's out to stop our passion. And I think, you know, he tells us lies. And I think we can believe lies about this running with passion, this spiritual habit, this discipline of seeking Jesus. And I think it's really easy for us to think that actually in this instant culture, it should be instant. It should happen. We should just have it. You know, when we become Christians, when we give our lives to Jesus and we become new creations, we don't instantly change. Our habits, our attitudes, our character, we go on a growth with Jesus. We go on a journey with him. You don't just add God and get a spiritual life of discipline and passion. The truth is that when we enter our relationship with God, it's just the beginning, isn't it? It's just the beginning. And that deep and lasting life change happens when we have communion with God at the deepest levels of our hearts. And that takes time and that takes space. And we've looked at this before. Here's our spiritual journey, guys. It takes time to move on that spiritual journey From when we're first exploring Jesus to growing in him, to becoming close to him, to becoming Jesus-centered. It takes time. It is not instant. But there's another lie. As I say, it takes time. It's not just time sitting in church. So we don't just be here for 5 years and have 5 years worth of spiritual maturity. That's not how it works. Just being exposed to something actually doesn't mean we become good at it, proficient at it, deep in it. You know, I suppose I was interested in golf. I'm really not. I'm even less interested in golf than I am in running. But I hung out around people who liked golf. I went to the golf, the clubhouse. I read golf magazines. I wouldn't be any good at it, would I? Because I haven't actually done it. So we can come to church and we can hang around. And we can even be in a small group and hang around. But it doesn't necessarily mean we're growing in our passion and our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't necessarily just mean time. And I think another thing the enemy wants to draw us away, our passion from, is our reluctance for it to cost us. That's a really hard one. But our reluctance for things to cost us. If we're looking to experience real life change, it's going to take a little bit of effort on our parts. If you think about the parable of the talents, the guy who just put his talent in the ground and nothing happened with it. It was just like it was at the beginning. It was the one who took it and invested it and dealt with it and worked with it. That investment grew. And you think of anything in our lives that's worth having, it's worth investing in. And it's as we invest in it, we invest our hearts in it, and our passion begins to grow. I think if we want a passionate relationship with Jesus, it's going to take us time, and it's going to take us effort, and it is going to cost us. But it is going to be worth it. And I'm going to get onto that in a minute. I just want to show you one thing here. I love this verse. I've been pondering it this week. This is Paul again. We faithfully prayed for you that you would access your destiny through all the treasures of your inheritance stored up in the heavenly realm. That's every one of us. We have a destiny. We have treasures of inheritance that are stored up for us in the heavenly realm. And will we invest the time and the effort to get it? Because it's there. My huge apologies to anybody who's gluten-free. But I saw Rachel get these out this morning for communion. And I was like, well, they're exciting. And I just felt like Jesus say, This is what we can choose to live on. We can choose to live on kind of funny, crumbly, flat stuff. Or we can have what Jesus wants to give us, which is abundance, fresh bread on a daily basis. What are we going to choose, people? Are we going to choose to invest time and energy in him? Rachel's laughing. Actually, when she opened them, we all thought on the leadership team it was cheese. We thought it was slices of cheese. Thought Rachel had had a mad moment. So, I want to encourage you that you have destiny. You have treasures of inheritance stored up for you. And I want to encourage every one of us to press on and to recognize the work of the enemy in discouragement, to recognize his work in distraction. Do you know how interesting my domestic things are when I sit to have a bit of time with Jesus? I find it amazing how interesting the shopping list is, or the thought I've got to do this or that errand or the other. It's the enemy taking the passion from our heart, drawing us away. But what are we running into? We are running into his abundance. And this is what has to be our vision and our inspiration. I love this verse. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That is for you. That is true over your life. You have no idea the things that God has prepared for you. the destiny, the inheritance, the riches. No idea. And he wants us to run with passion into them. He has so much grace to pour out over your life. But we limit that. We limit that because we don't actually give him time where we can receive it. I'm going to show you now a little video clip. Just watch it and then I'll chat about it. That interesting. Now I'm just going to ask you to do a bit of a mental jump there. Apply that to your spiritual life, to your relationship with Jesus. If you give Jesus 10 seconds, you get a line drawing. If you're prepared to give Jesus 10 minutes, think of the creativity that can flow. And you know, this is just my absolute experience. It's just that if I have time and give Jesus time, I see and hear and feel so much more. It's the 10 minutes, not the 10 seconds. So, how are we going to do this? Guys, it's time with Jesus, and we've got to do it. And it's really basic, and it's the first thing that we learn, and it's the thing we don't do. We need to spend time with Jesus. Some of you here are doing that already. Fantastic. Keep on going. Press on. But some of us, we've just lost it. And it's just life. It's just life and the enemy that does it to us. But look at the abundance that Jesus has for you. And we are in a season in this church family where Jesus wants to draw us on into more, into deeper. And he has abundance for you. I don't want anybody here to say I don't have time to set aside for Jesus, because that's not true. Jesus has given us 24 hours in every day, every single one of us. He's made us freed sons and daughters of his. We have choice as to how we spend our time. Choice. We choose to do that particular job, or we choose to do that thing on the computer, or we choose to watch that television program. We have choice over what we do with our time, and every single one of us can carve out time for Jesus if we choose to. If we want to run with passion into his abundance. Look at this verse. This is the reason why we never collapse. The outward man does indeed suffer wear and tear, but every day the inward man receives fresh strength. I don't know what could help your life and my life more than having the habit of a daily time with Jesus. Guys, set your alarm, put it in your diaries, pick a routine that you can stick to. I've done this now. I get up half an hour earlier and I've done it now for 12, 13, 14 years. Not every single day, but most days. And it makes a difference. It isn't earth-shattering every morning, but you will grow in your awareness of God, the presence of God, your awareness of Jesus in your life. Guys, if we are serious about being Christians, Jesus cannot be an add-on to our lives. Our lives is happening here, and Jesus is this nice add-on that makes us feel happy on Sundays. We've got to get him in the center. And to do that, we need to make him a part of our daily lives. I want to challenge you all here to start with that discipline of engaging with the Bible. I want to challenge us all to set aside 10 minutes every day to read the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, is Jesus, Word of God. The Bible will change your lives like nothing else. It is the biggest catalyst of spiritual growth. If you will read it, reflect on it, allow God to speak on it to you through it, it will transform your lives. There is no second plan on this. It is not negotiable. Jesus has given it to us. He wants us to be fed by it. Rachel read it earlier. To be fed, to be nourished as we were with communion this morning. It is so important. Without the Bible, we cannot know God. And the Bible says we're blessed. We're blessed when we look into the Word. It's like a seed that takes root in us and it sprouts and it produces fruit. And guys, we just have to do it. There is no other way around it. There was a famous Chicago pastor, D.L. Moody, you've probably heard about him. He said this famous quote, "The Bible was not given to increase our knowledge. It was given to change our lives." If we're really seeking life change, then we need to get into our Bibles. I can't read your Bible for you. I can read my Bible. I can encourage you. I can stand here. I can say, guys, read your Bible, but I can't read your Bible for you. You need to do it. So my encouragement to you is start this week, 10 minutes a day. As a leadership team, one of the things we've looked at is this, the YouVersion Bible app. Everybody these days has got smartphones. Download the app onto your phone. Sign up to a reading plan. In your small group, your friendship groups, become friends on it because then they can see what you're doing and you can see what they're doing. And there's a bit of accountability there. Go for it. There are millions of plans on there that will inspire you. 10 minutes a day. Get onto it. Really, really encourage you to do that. It is a discipline. We don't like that word, do we? We don't like the word discipline. In this culture of do your thing and enjoy what you do, we don't like the word discipline. It's a discipline we need. We need a discipline for our spirits. And you know that word discipline? For us now, it's associated with punishment. Because when it was... When it came into English in the 13th century, it became associated with religious punishment and discipline. But the origin of that Latin word is pupil. It's about learning. From it comes disciple. Disciples of Jesus. So it's a discipline, a learning, something that changes us, that transforms us, that we need to do. So, my challenge this morning, will you run with passion into his abundance? And one great way to start, if you're not already doing it, is 10 minutes a day in the Bible with Jesus. And I challenge you to do it.